This is the Real Grand Podcast. Welcome home.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back. It is a good day to be back on the Real Grand Podcast. And it's a good day because we're going to be spending some time with Mr. Isaac Anzaldúa, registered dietitian out of Real Grand City. So thanks for being here, man.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah. And for you know, setting this up for us.
Yeah, man. And it's a good conversation because we're talking about, you know, nutrition, diet. We all know where we live. You know, we know where we rank. We've all seen those articles like McAllen, Brownsville, fattest city in America. Like we hear it all the time. And it's true, right? It's true. So it's going to be a good conversation. But before we get started, man, I know we talked about it off mic right now, but I was thinking about your name and I was like, Anzaldúa. Like, I've never met somebody with that name, but I was thinking, like, is that Anzaldúa as in the park and the bridge and all that, the dam?
Yeah. So there's actually a town named Granjeno. All that town is pretty much Anzaldúa's. And my grandpa is from that town and he moved to where I live in Gruia, Rio Grande City area. And so that's how we are over there now. But anyways, that town is all Anzaldúa. And, you know, basically somebody in our family related, they owned all that area. Eventually, yeah, they got sold. But that's how that area is known as Anzaldúa.
Right. So all the people there are Anzaldúas, or they're all there?
From Granjeno, right? Yeah. There's a bulk of Anzaldúas there.
I know I passed by Granjeno one time because I was doing some clinical hours at Mission Regional Medical Center off of, Bryan, I think. Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about, right? Granjeno, like directly south of Mission?
Yeah, okay. It's in the Mission area.
That's like on the border, right? Like on the river almost?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I passed there. I think there was like a checkpoint there, no? Or like a bridge around that area?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So have you ever crossed it through there?
No. Mexico? I mean, I need to honestly go and visit that family area.
Like mi gente. Visit my people.
I would love to go and honestly meet some more of my family members. I've gone to a family reunion, but it's only like been one time, but I haven't met a lot of those people. But yeah, you know, there's we have a Facebook group, Anzaldúa clan, I guess.
Really?
They'll put up pictures and do they look exactly like my grandpa or as he not related to, say, they look Anzaldúa.
You know? Okay, man. So that's like a prominent, like, well, I mean, it's a big name for sure. Because like, I don't know what the history is, like how the dam got named the way that it is, or that there's a park, right? The Anzaldúa
Park.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess there's a lot of history, right? With that family in the valley.
Yes.
You know some of that?
I don't know. I just know very brief, very small things that for sure some of our family members that they're from that area and I guess wealthy, related to that, being wealthy and stuff like that. But I know it eventually got sold off to some other people, and that's, you know, but it got still named that way.
That's cool, man. Were any of them like dietitians and nutritionists? Is that how you got into it?
Oh, I don't know. That would be very interesting. Yeah. But my family, for sure, like there's a lot of food in atmosphere or culture involved. A lot of my family, there's caterers, cooks. So food, my dad was a cook. My dad is a cook. My grandmother, también worked at the school district. She did caterings also. So that is always been a part of my life. I grew up with food, eating very delicious food. So that I love that stuff. I'm a foodie. Yeah.
So then I guess you can sympathize with some of your patients or the clients you work with.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, for sure. Does that help like with your like level of understanding like what they're going through and like changing or making swaps?
I can give examples that are relatable and I can modify certain things in more presentable ways. Because I don't want to lack that flavor aspect of food. That's why I'm eating it. I want to enjoy my food. I want to eat that meal again. You know, I mean, so I make sure that I present things in like with a bow tie, pretty much. Like this is it looks appetizing, looks good. I want that to happen. So I'm selling it to you. Whenever I'm talking to you about diet, I don't lack flavor. I don't want that to be lacking.
Okay, sure. That's a tough one, man, because I mean, I'm sure this is the case in every culture. Like everyone says, oh, like, you know, the Italians love their food, like the Greeks, but man, the Mexicans, right? Like our culture, man, it's like food is like the flesh and blood, right? Like of who we are. Like it's one of the biggest things. So that's why I thought it was a really good conversation, man, because it's so big, our food, but man, our food is not the healthiest, man. Like
I don't want to be like biased, but I think we have some of the best food in the world. But I could be wrong. Like I was thinking about Italians. Like I would love to go try their food because they're probably gonna competing with us. But but I love
the pride, right?
Our food, like it's awesome. And like if you try tacos in this area compared to like Austin or San Antonio, it's not the same.
Yeah, you it's know. Not. You can not tell, even man.
Not even the same level, dude.
Yeah, you can tell, man. That's, you know what the big thing is? Because we interviewed somebody in our first season who's been all over the world. I mean, all over the country, Daniel Siddiqui. And he was telling us that the tacos and the Mexican food and everything is just as big in California. So there's like that whole, like, you know, because, you know, like Southern California, like LA and San Diego, there's people that are like, nah, California is better. Like, nah, like Texas is better. I personally don't have an opinion because I've never been to California, but I know like they probably think the same thing. Like, nah, man, like South Texas. Yeah. Nah. Like it's gotta be here in California and Cali or whatever. Have you been out there?
No, I have not. I haven't really traveled out of Texas. Only one time to Las Vegas. But other than that, I've been here. And I have traveled other parts of Texas. That's how I know about the food, right? It's not the same.
Yeah, no, compared it's not. It's not the other areas. That's tough. So working in dietetics and nutrition, do you... Because I know, like, I've talked to dietitians. I've worked with some. Even as a patient, as a client, and also at work, like professionally, and I know that some of them specialize, or like they, I guess they find their niche, right? Like I know some of them work specifically like with diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease. Like that's mainly what they do. Some of them work mainly like with bariatrics. Do you have like a specialty, or like what type of work do you do specifically?
Yeah, so I would say I niche in weight loss. Because eventually I opened up my own practice as I went through. I worked in different settings, by the way, clinical settings, local clinics, hospital setting. In the hospital, I worked with bariatric patients. And so eventually I ended up opening up a private practice. That's Nuestro Nutrition. And eventually I got working with a surgeon. And then I worked with another surgeon. And so that just kept growing, you know. And then I worked with clients that just overall weight loss. So overall, it's weight loss, right? Like I work with patients and we give them education, show them appropriate diets on how to do that. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. So you were working like with bariatric surgeons?
Yeah, bariatric surgeons, different hospitals. For sure.
So let's talk about the whole weight loss. So then you work with a lot of patients like before and after, like before the gastric bypass and all that, the sleeve.
Yeah. So okay. I prepare them, get their diet education. This is what needs to get done. So you are prepared for surgery, and then also post surgery, so you can do your diet correctly. So you don't have any issues, right? That you ate something incorrectly and you ended up back in the hospital because you need to heal properly, right? So that's actually a requirement. You need to see a dietitian to get cleared for surgery. And so that's what I do. Most of my patients, we do that. But again, also I work with also all types of patients, diabetes, weight loss. We get referred patients from all types of doctors.
Okay. So yeah, I guess we can stick to the weight loss thing a little bit, to that side of your work. I was thinking, because I personally, where I work, we work with a lot of patients that are about to have bariatric surgery, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we see that there's a lot Man, sometimes it's like 6 to 9 months of referrals. Like you have to go to like a the psychiatrist, to the dietitian. You have to go to like the pulmonologist, like all these clearances and stuff. Yes. And then there's like 2 weeks of like a liquid diet.
Yeah.
Like, is there from what you see, like what's the hardest part? Like, is it before the surgery or is it after the surgery?
I would say it's a little bit of both. Also like getting mentally ready. So I give a little bit of insight on that. Like, hey, we need to get ready mentally also. Start practicing, start incorporating a little bit of the liquids, right? Maybe incorporating a protein shake as a meal replacement for breakfast, right? Slowly easing into it. But I would say it's a pre-surgery because it's an all-liquid diet for 2 weeks. And it's restrictive, right? It's a strict diet. You can eat. The person is able to eat, but they're on a strict diet. So it's more tempting, right?
Mm.
Post-surgery, you can't do that. Yeah, that's
physically done. Right? You physically can't.
You're going to end up in the hospital if you do that.
Can you expand on that? What do you like you literally, because you literally can't, right? Like you, like
yeah,
you
I mean,
physically
it's,
don't have like the
you're, surface. You've got a surgery, your stomach's not the same. So you have to heal from that type of surgery, and it's a slow transitioning back to eating solid food. So think about a baby that starts off with liquids, milk. That's a liquid diet. Then they do pureed food, Gerber, right? Then they do soft foods, then regular food. That's the same thing they have to go through, a patient post-surgery. And so that's very precise. You have to follow directions. You can do whatever you want at that point, right? Because you eat something just like a baby, right? You can't give a baby chicken when they're doing milk, you know? Their stomach's not strong enough. Probably going to throw that up. Same thing here, right? You can't do that. You know, there's going to be probably a consequence if you do that.
But that's the good thing though, right? Like that's the point, right? That's why you had the surgery so that you won't eat like that.
Well, it's not necessarily that. At that point, you're trying to heal from that surgery. So that is not appropriate at that point because you just had surgery. It's so that your stomach is different. You want to focus on healing, getting your hydration. It's a lot different at that point.
Oh, okay. But you're going to have the cravings anyway, right? Like,
well,
you're going to want, like, I'm sure, I mean, would you say that being a Hispanic in the Valley makes it harder, like, with, like, the temptations and everything?
It can be harder, man, because your family and your environment, let's say you got you got a surgery or even weight loss in general, right, in any our Hispanic culture, plus maybe your family is also overweight and they have eating habits that are already prone to that, or they overeat or whatever the case, but their habits that are causing also that, you know, being overweight. So you got to, let's say like that, in that case, you got a surgery and plus your family does things like that. They overeat or they don't exercise or sedentary lifestyle. And that's a hindrance because you're trying to do a complete 360. It is a 360. It's a complete lifestyle change. That is going to be something fighting back, you know, and your habits. You still have them also. So, you know, maybe tomorrow, te olvidó, you got surgery and you want to, you know, your natural habit still there. But you have to, obviously you had a surgery, but you're going to be more cautious. But that could still be there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, because I'm sure that, you know, we've all run into this issue. I've had people tell me, or I've heard like that they had the gastric sleeve or the bypass or the lap band or whatever. And like, basically the whole idea is that the surgery didn't work. Like, mm-hmm. like, why would, especially, like, from your perspective, like, what would cause the surgery to not work? Like, as in, like, they didn't meet their goals, I guess.
So, I see that more as it's a tool, right? You're trying to lose weight because your BMI is high. So, you use that as a tool. It helped you lose weight. Now, is there people that maybe gain weight afterwards? Sure, there's those people as well, but it doesn't mean it didn't work, right? But it was a tool that helped them get to a goal. Some people, most of them reach it, yeah? But there could be some people that obviously they didn't reach it, yeah? Or they fell back to their habits, or they, you know, those habits were, you know, they just didn't go well for them.
So it's more of a compliance issue then. Like, you did, they didn't change their life. We didn't change their lifestyles the way that we should have.
So, yeah, that's on them. It's a tool for them to use. And you can see the results, right? You can see a lot of people's results. There's good results out there. That's why people do it. A lot of people have the surgery now more than ever, I think.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of patients, and every year it's more and more that we're seeing. And why? Because they see results. They end up losing weight. But of course, there's going to be also compliance issues, and that's the medical system, I guess, is there to, you know, help those people out, or in case somebody, they're having some issues, but we're here to help them.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay, so let's talk about that. Let's say I had a bariatric surgery. It's been a few months. I recovered already. But, man, like, I still want to have some of those enchiladas or something. Like, how do you make that? Like, so, I mean, do you change the food completely, or do you modify the meal that they want? Like how do you keep them compliant but still, enjoying themselves? Because, dude, food is, like, happiness. Like, you know, it really is.
Yeah. So you modify recipes, right? You find a way that this recipe is similar flavor. You modify the fat intake of the fat content of it, the carb intake of it, the portion of it also for that particular person, right? Because they have to eat differently now. So it is that they have to do a little bit more thinking, a little bit more research. But, you know, they can still live pretty normally, eat pretty normal foods. It's just it has to be a little bit extra, you know, with modification of recipes or meals.
Without it tasting like cardboard? Like, you can still, have you been able to, like, try the stuff that you, like, recommend for your patients and stuff like that?
Because
I know you said that, like, you want everything to still have flavor, right? But that's got to be hard, though, no? Like,
exactly.
Because our food, man, like, it's a lot of grease, and the tamales, man, like, that's tough. Tortillas, everything has tortillas, right? So you got a tough job, man, like, with these Mexicanos. Like that. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I am one, too. But yeah. It's tough, though, for real. Like, because that's what puts the weight back on once you've had the surgery, right? Or if forget surgery, just weight loss in general. Like, you got to make those changes.
So it's tough, but it's doable. And there's people to help, like myself, that can give you ideas and different approaches. We provide different tools, different recipes that you can try out. And nowadays, we have technology, right? We have apps. We have even different options at restaurants also that can even help. So there's a lot of options. Trust me, there's a lot.
Okay. So why do you think McAllen and Brownsville, they always come up as, like, the fattest areas in America? Like, why is that?
It's interesting, man. I mean, one of the things I could think about is poverty is high in our area, in the valley, especially where I live, Stark County. And that's always related to high disease, high obesity. So I think a lot about that. Specifically why that, you know, hey, this is why you're coming out the fattest city in the world. I don't know why, but is there a high obesity rate and high disease rate? Yes, I think so. Because maybe it's the way I work in this area, in that field, but I do see a lot of people sick. But again, that's where I work. So I could have a bias to that, but it's tough to say because you know, I was one of those kids, you know, growing up. I was I struggled with the weight also. Growing up, my family, that was normal for me, you know. That wasn't anything out of the normal, you know. So that's normal, man. Imagine, I mean, I look back at,
oh, like, that was your norm, right?
That's normal, you know. Wow. So there's kids, I see también kids, and they're already having diabetes, heart issues as a kid, you know, that could have easily been me, you know. So that's why as time went by and me working in this field, a lot of my perspective has changed. A lot of the way I educate people has changed. I used to, when I first started off, I sometimes didn't value, like I used to think, man, this person didn't listen to me. I wasted my time. Or, you know, maybe I'm not getting through to them efficiently. But I realized over time that, you know, some people are going to get it. Some people are not. And that's a numbers game. It's like if you plant 4 seeds, two plants came up and they all, you know, they were beautiful, and the other two, they didn't make it, you know, or they just didn't work out. But that's kind of how, like, I see now things. Like, my job is to provide you the information, give you the correct information, and there's going to be some people that do good and some people that don't. But I realize that that's the way things are in my view, but it is important. Now I do value what I do. I do value what I say. I realize over time what I do is, when I tell you advice, that person, they could eventually maybe, you know, prevent a future disease, you know, heart disease, whatever the case may be, that could be prevented just by our talk, you know. So it is important. If I knew what I knew as a kid, like if I knew what I knew right now and I told my kid self, that would be awesome, you know. Wow. I mean, that's how easy it could be, you know, and that could make a big change over time. And no era batalla mucho. Or so there's other kids like that as well. There's other adults también that can benefit from talking to a dietitian. That's my perspective now on that, that, you know, your life can be changed or your lifestyle can be changed just by a talk, you know, or getting advice. But that happened over time. That was revealed to me over time. I think by life experience, by God telling me, like, pretty much through my life, like, that's the way it is, you know. But that happened over time. Yeah.
You gotta go through things, right? So you gotta let time pass to see it, the bigger picture. And let me ask you this, man: is there any one food that people struggle with the most? Like, is it the bacon? Is it the tamales? Like what is there any single food that is just like so hard to get people to like?
Yeah, I think carbohydrates are more difficult. That's in our food. It's all over the place. Some drinks have the equivalent of a meal in that drink alone of carbohydrates. So I'll give you an example, like a soda that has about 60 grams of sugar, of carbs. Well, that's about 4 servings of rice. So that's, imagine 4 servings, una cuchara, right, of rice on your plate. That's what you drank in your soda. Plus your meal, plus if you got seconds. So that's sugar, you know. And that, what is around here a lot? Diabetes. So I'm a preacher for that, dude. Like, I'm going to open your eyes for that. And I show people, hey, this is what's happening. When you're eating, this is what's going on. How do you feel after you eat? You know, are you always tired, sluggish after you eat? That's a response of sugar, right? Your sugar is very high. You're tired all the time, or you're sleepy. Your body's doing too much work.
That's really bad, right? Because it's bad. Funny because a lot of people are like, oh, man, like, this is, like, I just had the biggest meal and now I want to hibernate and take an amazing nap. But that's bad, though, right? Your body's, like literally, like, trying to shut down. Like, it's just, like, slowing down.
Shutting down, breaking down that food, processing it. So
we've talked about that. Like, I know my brother and I have talked about that. It's like, we used to be like, oh man, like, that was a great meal. Like, now I can hibernate. But that's like your body, like, yeah, like, parale, right? Like, that's enough. Yeah. That's crazy, man, because we don't even realize that.
So imagine that all the time, nonstop.
Every meal.
From a kid all the way to your adult. That's bad.
Because food's supposed to energize you, right? Like, it's not supposed to make you want to, like, go away for 3 months, like, in a hole, right? Like, it's supposed to make you want to, like, continue with your day, like...
Yeah. So, wow. There's kids or adults, they'll eat a meal, they'll eat a second meal, and then maybe they'll have a bowl of cereal after that as dessert, that all of that sugar. You know, what's going to happen, también, you're going to gain weight, también. So, you can gain weight, like a person that's overweight, I review a lot of weights. That's what I do. So, I've seen people that are overweight that over a year, maybe they gain 20 pounds. You do the math, it's about a pound, 2 pounds every month. So they gained it slowly, but it happened that way. They overdid it. So the opposite, I could do the opposite. I cut back on my drink. I had a diet drink where I had a water. I didn't get the second serving. I didn't feel sleepy after I ate. That's the way weight loss, okay. Backwards. So in a year, I could lose more than those 20 pounds. That's the mentality. Yeah. So I tell people you want to integrate or that thinking to what you do, the way you eat and be more conscious of it, be more mindful of it. Start doing it more for maybe the way I don't want to feel tired or sleepy after I eat. I want to be productive in my day, you know. So that has to be a desire for that. There has to be a wanting to do that. Some people, they want it, but oh, they might not desire it. A desire is different than, I want to try that out. A desire, yes, otra onda, right? It's like, I really want to do that. And that's, you can't stop a person like that, dude. A desire, they're going to try and try and try and try. Sometimes that can be influenced by the way you're thinking, your thoughts. Some people, when they're dealing with weight issues, they think about, you know, I try out a diet, plus I can't lose weight. That's a mentality. That there's a problem there. So there's a block. So there's never, that desire gets shut down.
Right. What's away. The block, though?
So it could be thinking, the way they think. That's also
just thinking that the diet's not gonna work.
It can be a blocker to their progress. So I could do great. Like I've seen people do great for a while, and then all of a sudden, maybe they got a bad comment, or they did gain this couple of days didn't go good, and they gained 1 pound. That ruined everything.
The mindset, then, right? What they're thinking.
So mindset is very important with weight loss. So. And I can give you some examples about negative thoughts. Right? A negative thought could be, I ate this piece of cake and I'm a failure because I ate it. Mm. So it's like you magnified that. Or perdí una pound, pues no es nada. There's nothing.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it's actually good.
Yeah.
You know, but so that blocked, that stopped me. So I can do opposite things to influence my thinking on purpose. Maybe I have positive thoughts on purpose. I say things on purpose out loud to myself. Like, I find it easy to lose weight, you know, or I'm happy that I'm trying to lose weight. Like, switch it up. I'm happy I lost 1 pound today, you know, or so it's just like flipping it.
And that makes a difference.
You're building self-belief. If you believe you can do something, you're more likely to take actions to do that versus the opposite, right? Like, I only lost 1 pound, pa' que lo hago, you know, or I ate this cake, pues, yeah, I messed up, pa' que lo hago, you know. That's stopping me. I don't believe I could do it. So I can flip it. I trying to build my self-belief. That's a science-based thing, man. So there's evidence you believe that you can do something. And you can influence that because you're more likely to be taking action. You're more likely to be more successful if you believe that.
And it's the power of the mind, right? It's weird because it's just a thought. Like, but like thoughts and feelings like actually lead like to physical change or they don't, right? Because you say that you can, so then you just don't.
Yeah, you just don't. But I can flip it. That could be through affirmation. I say positive things to myself. more I see myself, like in my imagination, I can see myself going to the gym. I can see myself, you know, buying a meal prep. I can see myself cooking healthier meals. I'm seeing myself do it. That's influencing me. So I got to do things like that on purpose. I got to say things on purpose that are positive to myself. I got to remember that memory is important. I got to remember, why do I want to lose? Why do I want this goal? If you remember and on purpose, why is it important to you? Le vas a echar más ganas, you know? But if you only think about, pues no, I mean, every time I get on the scale, it goes bad. You're also remembering that, you know, that's crushing you, you know, that's holding you back. So I got to do intentional things on purpose, because that's going to affect me. You know, I want to be successful, then I got to do certain things.
And you tell your patients all of this.
Yeah. I talk, wow. I have a session just about that.
So they think they're going to like talk about broccoli, but instead you're like, no, like you got to say that I'm confident. Like you're talking to them about like their self-esteem and their belief, but that factors in.
That's it factors crazy. In. Yeah. It factors in that's also going to affect you. So I bring that in also, you know, so I talk about strategy, about actual visualizing your meal, what's going on, how that can affect maybe your blood sugars. But also mental mindset. We need to talk about that.
Okay. What do you tell patients when they tell you that they don't like vegetables?
Tell them está bueno. Then what? You got to worry about what you do then. If you don't like vegetables, I'm not going to force you to do that. I was that person too. I didn't like vegetables.
So you've had people tell you that? Well, it was you.
I was that guy.
Yeah.
I became a dietitian, man, and I didn't eat vegetables. And I was like, well, I can't do that. So I forced myself to eat them. And gagging, all of it, dude. Eventually I started to like them. But I was that guy. I couldn't, my only vegetable was ketchup. That was ketchup. It, bro. So, y te van a decir que es una fruta también, para acabarla.
I know, that doesn't make sense.
So I was that guy, man. Now I can eat a whole bunch of them, but.
So your palate changed, but you forced it.
I forced my palate. Like I forced that change. Pero it was gagging, casi vomitándome. I mean,
so then what do you tell? Like, let's say, hey, Mr. Anzaldo, I can't do it, man. Like, I can't eat spinach. I can't eat leaves. Like, what do you tell me that one?
I get that and throw it to the trash. So I tell you, hey, you know what? Then what you do eat, that's what we're gonna work on. And so that
so you didn't even try to make him eat the spinach.
Nothing. I'm not gonna try. Like, that's already that one.
Why? Because it has to come from me. Like, you're not even gonna.
Yeah, that you're the then I'm person not gonna usually to you. Is expecting for me to talk about stuff like that, but that's not my approach at all. So that's usually I bring it up in a sneaky way. Yeah, I bring that up more like as a filler. Like, hey, we need to work on the portioning of your food that you are eating. You're conscious of that, and then I tell them, hey, the vegetable. Pues, imagine you ate a steak and you had one side dish. Or you control that side dish. Maybe you had one or two. You maybe te quedó hambre, right? Because you usually have four sides. Or you usually have a drink also with that. So I tell them, hey, you know what? You can also add a salad kind of to start it off. That's more volume. Te vas a sentir más lleno. You're going to feel more fuller. So you can do that on purpose. You know? That's how I sneak it in.
On purpose.
So I'm kind of sneaky with that. But I'm not putting it out there like, hey, you have to do this. Okay. Some people think if there's no vegetable, they're doing everything wrong. I don't take that approach. So I don't even bring it up that way because I don't want that pushback. Because
then I'm not going to listen to you, right?
You're not going to listen.
Like, as soon as they tell you that I need my vegetables, like, you think I'm going to just, like, block everything you say.
Okay. And I point it out.
But you still try to get the patient to have them, though, right? Like, but you just don't want them to shut down on you.
Exactly.
I see.
So I bring it up and I encourage it, but I'm not forcing it. So it's like, hey, this is a good idea. I kind of sell it that way.
Okay.
So, hey, this is something you could do. And it's going to help you feel more fuller, right? They agree. Okay. Sí, pues I'm going to feel more full.
That's true.
That's kind of my sly way of doing it.
Okay.
That's my approach because I've been that guy.
But you eat them now yourself?
Oh, yeah. Now,
because there's so much research that says that, like, fruits and vegetables should be, like, almost like the majority of what we eat, because like the whole Mediterranean diet, like do you agree with that? Like it's science, right?
Yeah, I mean you need, if you look at a balanced plate and you look at that, really start to look at it, there's vegetable half of the plate, there's carbs on the side, and then there's a portion of meat or fruit or
one piece, right?
But one piece,
yeah,
when there's only that piece of meat, everything else is vegetable.
Yeah, grains, you see fruits, that? Vegetables. Yeah.
So that I also picked up, I mean, my education, right? Like I know, hey, this is all plant, pretty much all plants. Bueno, if you do now the opposite, pues nomás pones pura carne and then just like one side dish or puro side dishes, no vegetables, there's an off balance, right? So I have that in mind. But if you're, I come from I work with a lot of people. There's a lot of diabetes in our area, a lot of obesity in our area. So I do a lot of, hey, where's the sugar is this? Let's control this. Let's start to work on this, be conscious of it. Let's manipulate that. And it's a strategy I use for helping people on cutting back. Also, their sugars are not that high. So I incorporate that a lot.
And, like, everything is high-processed foods now, man.
Yeah.
Like, everything is. Like.
So there's a lot of, and, you know, they do that for more shelf life, for the company selling food. They also, because that's going to help them make a profit, right? Porque they have it there longer and they can make more sales and so on. Pero that's a part of our life right now. Así na es. Yeah, it's it's integrated into the United States, right? I mean, that's what we do.
The standard American diet, the sad diet, as they say. Yeah, the Western diet. Yeah,
it's a Western diet, yeah.
Is there anything, because right now, like, we're you know, our listeners are here from the Valley specifically. So you got the Valley listening. Is there anything you want to tell us? Anything like that we need to hear? Like right now that you have this little platform going. Like anything that like maybe like debunk a myth or something that you just feel that like, man, I wish everybody knew this, that you can think of.
I would say get advice from a professional. Sometimes, especially men, they don't want to, they think they might know of everything también, or pride can get in the way, or they just don't know. They're ignorant that help is out there. They literally don't know. And so, you know, seek advice from somebody that can have years of knowledge on a specific topic that can guide you in a correct way, in a good way, that can positively benefit your life. And that could be with diet-wise, talk to a dietitian, they're professionals in that. And like I was telling you, if I had talked to a dietitian earlier, I mean, wow. I would have like taken advantage resources wise, but sometimes maybe you didn't have the money to take advantage of it. Pero también later on, I'm going to be able to see le echo ganas, right? I can be financially better off, and I can, even what I do have, I can still do something.
Mm.
I'm always eating something. I'm always, there's always, I, since I'm a kid, man, I'm grateful that I never missed a meal. I never went hungry. So, but the food was always there. I can do something with that. So I could have used that knowledge even then, you know, even though I didn't have all the money in the world, but I could still do something. I could have still done something there. Y me hubiera ido bien. But I didn't know, you know. So that's what I would say to people in the Valley, where like, hey, get advice from somebody who really knows a lot of stuff. That could benefit you and your life, and that's going to impact your kids. That's going to impact their kids. So you're a model to your children. So your kids, they're going to be affected. They see what you do. that's going to be also a factor. You're a factor to your kids.
Yeah, we don't always realize that though, right? Like
exactly.
Yeah.
In the medical field, you're going to realize that porque you see families that a family member got sick, the whole family got affected. They also got affected.
Yeah.
So I would say that too, right? A person, you need to take care of your health because you're not only affecting you, you're affecting a whole family.
So when Tia Maria is telling you to eat the tamales, she's not helping, right? She's affecting you.
So she doesn't know. No sabe, or it's not necessarily bad. They're good and they have their place, but you can over excessively do things.
So that's there's gonna be it hard for us too, because the family influence is right.
Yeah. So there's a consequence for everything you do, good or bad. So if I just do eat tamales every single day, there's gonna be a consequence. So in the mass, what balance do you have? Am I looking at my week, really thinking about what I'm doing the whole week? Am I really thinking about how my month went, how my week went? And if I'm catching myself, hey, I need to fix this. This is going to long-term affect me. That right there is important. So ya pescas eso, you make that change. And then your next 5 years, te fue más bien.
Yeah.
You prevented something.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's good.
That's a way que a dietitian sees big, like a long-term view.
Oh, okay, the big picture.
They're going to see more of that. They have that that approach. We're trained to see it that way.
Down the line.
Yeah.
Yes, I see.
Or different factors, their family, this is going on with the family. Estamos viendo todo eso. A doctor también va a hacer eso.
And you factor that into your plan for them, right? Like, even like environmental factors, stuff like that. That's cool, man. Like, you have to, right? Because otherwise you're not going to be able to like follow whatever you give them.
So a family that maybe they're all doctors, or the family that they're all marathon runners, or a family que tan más gorditos. So there's a difference. Pero why? There is a difference. Your family, your environment.
It's interesting, man.
Te está afectando también. But that doesn't mean you're going to have that same path.
Mm. Yeah, or it doesn't have to like define you, right? It doesn't have to stop you.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
So I became a dietitian. Yeah, all my family's almost cooks. You know,
you're the bad guy, man.
Food is the meta. This is the pipeline in our family.
Man, you're the bad guy in this family. You're like the cop, right? Like, you're like the police, dude. Dang, man. You got the mafia going on, and then you decided to become a cop, right?
Like, so it doesn't define you, or doesn't mean like I can't do anything about it. No, I mean, I also feel like there's some destiny to it too. Like, but it's also you doing. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of both, you know. That's what I think.
That's good,
my
right?
opinion.
Yeah, that's good because you're not like locked into anything. Like you can forge your path, right? Like
if I have a green light, like if I have an okay, I'm going. You know, so if it's my heart's right with it, I don't have any negative feeling towards it, I'm gonna do it.
That's good, man. That's good to hear. Because I mean, you got to be determined, right? Like that's a lot of us. We just don't have enough drive to get stuff done.
Life también, I would say to the listener, your life is you got to pay attention to what's going on. Like your actions, your life, it's showing you like there are certain things happening that are leading towards your path. And if you pay attention, like it's telling you like, hey, this is your direction. But sometimes we don't pay attention. Or sometimes we talk to people and I mean, you're going to get good advice, but you got to pay attention, you know?
Mm.
So you can have great advice daily, but you never pay attention, you know? You got to have an open ear a veces también to be open to that advice. Because that could change your route. Hola, in a positive way. You got to be careful también, pues, the negative también.
It goes both ways, right? And it's annoying because we're more likely to, like, veer to the bad, like, just as our inclinations.
Yeah.
But that's true, yeah. And some, yeah, I guess you got to pay attention, right? Like, you don't even know, like, that it's there, like, the good influence or the good advice. Like,
I started to pay attention in my life, and I started to realize that there's always something being told to me. There's always something good. Like, some advice is coming my way. And I started to pay attention more. Pero imagine what I don't pick up. You know, like, what am I not picking up that I'm not paying attention to? Y so distraction is, y lo social media, there's a lot of distractions. So I got to be open, even when I'm, like, in social media también, I'm having messages there too. You know, so I'm picking up. That's my own personal thing about that I'm like, I'm looking for it, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking for that advice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because now you're like, you're aware that you need like,
I want direction. The advice. Yeah, I want direction. I want correction. Pero that's wisdom. That's a person with wisdom, they want to get that, you know. Pero a person that they reject that's called a fool. They're rejecting advice. They're rejecting, hey, te quiero ayudar. But you don't want. That's a fool.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
That's true.
But that's my own take. That's no, my that's personal.
Good. That's good. So you said fool. That reminded me of something. I got two more questions for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Before we let you go, I got to pick your brain for two more things. One, just curious, like, what's the worst diet myth you've ever heard? Is there like a diet myth that's like, oh, like it just like irked you? Because there's a lot of things that people say that like you can do, like, oh, pasto, like you're going to lose 10 pounds or like con esto you lose the water weight. Or is there any diet myths you've heard that just like you can't stand? Or ones that are just so not true that people believe?
A diet myth? I would say like more.
Like TikTok trends that you see?
Yeah, like crazy diets that, hey, just drink soup for the next 3 weeks or that's dangerous, man. That's super dangerous. You're going to lose muscle mass. You're going to lose weight. You're going to deplete yourself. You're going to be weak, tired. That's malnourishment.
You ever seen people do that?
Yeah.
And it's like, unfortunately, it's a lot of like the women, right, that are trying harder to lose weight that they haven't been able to.
Yeah. So some person might get influenced by that. Oh, le jalo, right? They did lose the weight, but they also got depleted. They got malnourished along the way. That could cause other issues. That's dangerous. You can land in the hospital just for that,
like deficiencies and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so people have landed in the hospital for trying to do something good, like trying to lose weight and like, but that's unhealthy though, right? Like, because you're only supposed to lose 1 pound a week or something like that.
Trying drugs, trying pills.
Oh, okay.
People have messed up kidneys doing that. People have messed up their liver, and that can happen, you know?
And it does, right?
It does.
Damn, that's horrible, man. Like, it's horrible because it's such like it's like a vulnerable population, people, you know, that we're trying to lose weight and we do something because, like, I guess the problem is that we're looking for like an easy way out, like a quick fix. Because that's like the soup. Like, I mean, yeah, you're going to lose weight, but you're losing like everything that you need, right? Like, that's the problem. Like, that's crazy, man. I've seen that, like other, even like with ketogenic diet, like long-term diets or whatever, like low FODMAP diets. It's like, dude, that's not going to be good for you, like over the long term. But the problem is that you do see the results like in the short term, right? Like, that's the problem, that you see that you do lose weight. So like, oh, that worked for this guy. Like, my coworker said he lost 10 pounds like in 2 weeks. It's like super unsafe, but it works. But they don't tell you that they're seeing stars, right? Like, oh, like for lunch, like they had like a glass of water and lemon juice and like the wall was floating, but they don't tell you that part, I guess.
So it's an extreme behavior, right? Mm. It's, you're taking it to the extreme. So there's not a balance. So I can take it either I overdid it, overdoing it, I overate. That's an extreme también. Y al revés, I underdid it. Those are like, you can say that's the eating disorder.
Yeah.
There's people that también that struggle with that. They overdid it, but underdoing it, you know?
Mm.
So that can be happen too.
Like overly cautious?
They, you know what? I'm not going to eat. Like they have anorexia. Like, so they just will, or they'll eat and throw up.
Purging.
It's so,
like bulimia, right? Like,
bulimia.
One more question for you, man. I got to pick your brain one more thing. What's one thing that the Valley has taught you? I mean, you're born and raised in the Valley, right? Like, what have you learned, or what's one thing the Valley has taught you?
I think the Valley is a great place to grow up. To grow up your family also. A lot of caring people, a lot of good school systems. So they're very, like, I think very well mixed. Also, there's a lot of different people, a lot of different professions that come out of the Valley. But I think they have a connection more down to earth. I mean, that can be seen, in my opinion, in the Valley. But that's what I've learned about it, is that we live in a good place. It's a good place to bring up your family. And I love that, you know. I think, you know, you hear the news and sometimes and bad stuff going on in the Valley. I mean, you do hear stuff, but not as much as...
Yeah, it doesn't always make its way all the way down here. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty safe area. And I love the people from the Valley, you know, and that's my duty, guys, to affect, give you a positive message or give you a doable thing with food, right? Okay. That you can influence your health with the things that you are doing, things you have available. You can do something. And that's, you know, that's my duty for the Valley. That's, or the people that I come in contact with in the Valley, I'm going to te voy a afectar in a positive way.
There we go, man.
That's good. But yeah, I'm doing that on purpose. I want to do it. You know, I desire to do it. And it's going to happen because I desire to do it. Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was the mindset, right, we talked about. You got to believe it.
So I really believe it.
So how can we find you, man? How can we get in contact with you?
So you can get in contact with me, Nuestro Nutrition, LLC. You can look that up on social media, Isaac Ansaldúa. I also am opening up a meal prep service. So they even will have ready meals that you can pick up, available for that are already portioned out for you. That's Nuestro Nutrition Meal Preps. And, you know, that's, again, me doing what I can do for my people. That's what I'm doing. And it's a desire that de repente salió. Like, I have to do that now. Está bueno, let's go for it. You know, and so that's where you guys can find me.
Okay. And you also do online consultations, right? Like virtual?
Correct. Yeah, so awesome. Online consultations. I see people from all over the Valley, even outside of the state, I've seen. So, you know, that's very easy to, very convenient. Like, everybody's on their phone. I literally see people on my phone. And that's the way we can do a consultation. Like I was telling you, one conversation that can change a lot. You know, your path can be changed, positively influenced, and you can see a good outcome with that.
All right, man. Well, thanks for being here. It's something we all have to think about, right? No matter where we stand on that spectrum, right? Like, whether it's weight loss or weight gain or diabetes or whatever, metabolic syndrome, it's big in the Valley. So thanks for being here. A lot of us got to learn something from you. I know I learned a lot. I didn't realize we were going to be talking about mindset, but like you said, I thought we were going to be talking about like broccoli or like spinach or something, but thanks for being here, man. It was fun. It was fun.
Thank you.
Now we know where to check you out.
Thank you, guys.
See you later, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Don't forget to follow the show on social media for updates on episodes, interactive content, and more opportunities to grow together. We'll see you again next week on your podcast, The Real Grand Podcast. Stay safe. Take care.